Delaware Woman is Elijah David, Minister of the Crossdale Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of the House of Crossdale, Libertyville, Texas. Today is June 16, 2016, or it is the 12th day of the 4th lunar month, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. I love to tell the story of fine seen things above, of Yahshua and His glory, of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme and glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, will be my fame and glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story, it's pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from Yah's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme and glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, and hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems of glory, I sing the new song, will be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, will be my theme and glory, to tell the old story of Yahshua and His love. A feast that rolls away the veil, opens the gates and causes death to flee away. Lewdness flees away, revival and reformation win. quite a title for this sermon, B.T. Hollis. He had the prayer thought of text for prayer. He says, I shall read from the Christ Object Lessons beginning on page 40, the last paragraph. Instead of discussing erroneous theories or seeking to combat the opponents of the gospel, follow the example of Yeshua. Let fresh truths from Yahweh's treasure house flash into life. Preach the word, sow beside all waters. Be instant in season, out of season. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yahweh? Every word of Yahweh is pure. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and be found a liar. We should pray this afternoon for the ability to follow the example of the Yeshua in teaching. We should also pray that we shall remember that we are instructed not to engage in the debate with those who disagree with us. That Yeshua did not debate, and neither must we, if we are to win. That Elohim will supply us with the fresh truths to bring to the people. That is, such truth does not convince the opposers of the everlasting gospel, nothing will. Even if the dead should arise for a witness against them, that we exalt the Bible above all other books, that we measure all else with the Bible and the yardstick, and forever break all other measuring sticks. Okay, that ends the prayer thought for that part. Let's go into another part of our prayer thought. Let's go to, let's read Isaiah chapter 2 and for some more prayer thought, and then we'll get into our main study. It says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now keep in mind that Jerusalem is the capital of Judah, of the two tribes. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up unto the mountain of the Yahweh, and to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords in the plowshares, and their spears in the pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers, like the Philistines. And they please themselves and the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasure. The land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Yahweh, and for the glory of his majesty. For the lofty lips of men shall be humble, and the hardness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fence wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the hardiness of men shall be made low, and the Yahweh alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. And they shall go into holes of rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, unto the moles and unto the bats, to go into the cliffs of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Yahweh and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? All right. That's a very good admonition. Let's go ahead now and read the whole third chapter of Isaiah. For behold, the Yahweh, or the Yahshua, the Yahshua of the host, this is talking about the Son now, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. For the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Okay, this is talking about the Adventist church now and the Davidians. This is prophecy, is just only for our time. So this can't apply to anybody else. And it says, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take a hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an heir, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against Yahweh, to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. Okay, now we're talking about the Adventist church now. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. They rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with them, with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Okay, O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. The Yahweh standeth up to plead and standeth to judge the people. Now this verse 12 I just read, what does it mean? As for my people, children are their oppressors. Now my people is the house of Israel here, and we're still talking about the Adventist church, and women rule over them. All right, what it says, and as for my people, children are their oppressors. and women rule over them. What does it mean children are their oppressors? All right. When you take an authorized celebrating birthdays in the church, at the time that you go on the Sabbath to do worship, and they definitely never forget the children's birthday. They'll occasionally point out a member of the church, a grown member, that he may have a birthday, but not every time, unless that grown member tells them ahead of time that he has a birthday. But in the little children's class, they ask the children, "Who has a birthday? Who has a birthday here?" They say, "I do." Well, if they do, they say, "Well, let's sing happy birthday to you." So what are they doing? They're giving the children center stage to sit, to be somebody. They're teaching them how they can be somebody. And then once the children get old enough to understand what a birthday celebration really is, it means that they are a god and that they're worshipped by everybody that brings them presents and so forth. So they get this engendered in their mind. I'm somebody special once a year. And grown people acknowledge that. That's the height of idolatry. So as for my people, children are their oppressors. That's the way children oppress. By you exalting them on their birthdays, making them somebody when they're nothing. When it's said that children are to be seen and not heard. Okay. Let's go ahead, verse 14. Yahweh will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Yahweh Elohim of the host? Moreover, the Yahweh saith, because the daughters of Zion are hardy, and walk with stretched forth necks and worn eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Yahweh will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. The Yahweh will discover their secret parts. And that day the Yahweh will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, and their cauls, and their round towers like the moon, the chains and the braces and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings, the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher, a girding of the sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty men in the war, and her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall set upon the ground. Okay. That ends their prayer thought. A feast that rolls away the veil, opens the gates, and causes death to flee away. We're in Town of Reading, Volume 2, Number 5. And we're getting along here in about 19 minutes into our hour. And this is a text of address by the V.T. Hall, September 6, 1947. I hope everyone enjoyed our prayer thought today. Pay close attention to everything, because there's always new things to be brought out. We're in a game-changing world. Things that the game changes every day. Alright, the text of our address, of our study this afternoon is Isaiah 25 and 26. In order properly to orientate ourselves to the subject matter, we shall begin with the sixth verse of the chapter 25. Afterwards, we shall study the first five verses. Isaiah 25:6. And in this mountain shall the Yeshua of the host make unto us all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things, a full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. What mountain is he talking about? He's talking about this mountain of Liberty Hill. We're going to give this mountain a name, Liberty Hill. I don't think anything about that. I live in Liberty Hill town, but don't think anything about that. That's strong. First of all, we should find the truth of this figurative mountain. This is a figurative mountain. For this information, we must go to the last verse of the 24th chapter, because the story of the 25th chapter begins with the previous chapter. We shall read these verses connectively. Isaiah 24, 23, and then Isaiah 25, 6. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Yahshua the host shall reign in Mount Zion, house of David, in the 12th hour, I might add, and in Jerusalem. The nurse says, when he reigns in Mount Zion, comma, and is a conjunction, and in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is many miles from here. It's across the Atlantic Ocean. This Mount Zion is here in Liberty Hill, Texas, where this mountain is. And before his ancients gloriously. So he's going to reign in Mount Zion here, starting with, here in the United States. And he's going to bring the 144,000 here to be in the to the bonus to be harvested. Then he's going to take his priesthood leadership of the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver of the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, and he's going to take and transport that to Jerusalem, where he's going to reign over his people anciently, the ancient ones, where he's going to before his ancients gloriously. Okay. And in this mountain, and then Vitiala goes ahead and says Mount Zion, and then I add the at the 12th hour. Vitiala, he added Mount Zion in parentheses, and I add at the 12th hour. Shall the Yahshua the host make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, a fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, a well refined. Here you see that Mount Zion is a mountain on which the Yahweh will prepare a feast for all people, a feast of tempting things. There will the people gather together, Isaiah 25:7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering, cast over all people. Okay, it says, and the veil that is spread over all nations. When the covering under which the nations now stand rolls away, then shall they find themselves in the open, vulnerable unto the wind and storm. Yes, when the veil which now hangs over all people of the earth is pulled down, then shall they see that which they cannot now see. And what then? Isaiah 25:8-10. He will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh Elohim will wipe away tears from off all faces, and rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Yahshua has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this Elohim we have waited, Savior, Yahshua, the Messiah, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Yahshua. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain, and now we know where this what this mountain is now. This is the mountain of David. This is that little stone that was hewn out of that big mountain that was planed off, which is the Adventist Church. That's in prophecies in Zechariah 4:7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. Okay, for in this mountain shall the hand of Yahshua rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill. Alright, to make these great events possible, not only the ones who were at that time rule the land, but Moab too, we see shall be trodden down. And who could Moab be if not the Arabs, who now lay heavy claim to the land of the Palestine? Soon the world will find that Elohim has not forsaken the earth, and that Yahweh is master of the situation. Okay, it says Isaiah 25:11-12, and he shall spread forth his hands in the midst of them, as he that swimmeth spreadeth forth his hand to swim, and he shall bring down their pride together with the spoils of their hand, and the fortress of the high fort of thy walls shall he bring down, lay low, and bring to the ground, even to the dust. These verses hold the fact before us that it matters not what kind of fortification men may devise. Such shall nevertheless be brought down as a straw when the Yahshua manifests his power. Having now clearly seen this wonderful Bible truth, let it be you to say, Isaiah 25:1, O Yahweh, thou art my Elohim. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Here we are shown that as a result of this revealed truth, some will truly accept the Yahshua of the Bible as their Savior, and will praise, exalt him, and even ever to praise his wonderful name, because they see that he has done wonderful things. His counsels of old will they not turn down, because they will know from experience that his counsels are faithfulness and truth. They will from personal experience know Elohim's power and say, Isaiah 25:2-3, for thou hast made of a city and heap, and of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers, to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Okay, the city of this verse must be the one first mentioned in Isaiah 24. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone, and the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. And thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people. There shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes of the vintage is done. They, those who are not shaken down, shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of Yahweh. They shall cry aloud for the sea. Wherefore glorify ye the Yahshua in the fires, even the name of the Yahshua Messiah of Israel in the isles of the sea. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard song, even glory to the righteous. As a result, there shall be converts from the four corners of the earth. But I said, my lameness, my lameness. He says, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of Israel. So it says that Isaiah 24:10-17. For the following quotation of the Spirit of Prophecy adds light unto these verses. I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. Elohim's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Testimony, Volume 9, page 28 and 29. In the land of Zedah, we have a strong city. Salvation will Yahweh appoint for walls and bulwarks. The song for the majesty of the Yahshua is therefore to be sung in the promised land. And there will the saints have a city that cannot be shaken down, for it is to have salvation for walls. Then it shall be said, Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Okay, it says, Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Here is taught that all this takes place in a day of the salvation. In a day that the gates can be opened for a righteous nation to enter in. Yes, a whole nation as such should be saved, not a sinner among them, shall then respond to the call, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of a sin that ye receive not of a pledge. Isaiah 26:3-4. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Yahweh forever, for in the Yahweh Elohim is everlasting strength. Although throughout the years of history nations have developed great power, yet not one has retained that power forever. But we are here reassured that those who trust in the Yahweh Messiah, or the Yahshua Messiah, that's who we really are talking about here, shall have eternal peace and everlasting strength. Isaiah 26:5-10. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city he layeth it low, he layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright, thus way the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Yahweh, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be shown unto the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Yahweh. This verse plainly tells us that when the judgments of the Elohim fall upon the earth, The righteous man will learn righteousness. But it didn't say the righteous minded in the Bible. It just said the righteous. See, just adding to. In other words, if a person is righteous, he's perfect. If he's righteous minded, he's not, I wouldn't say necessarily perfect. So you see, this is what I'm talking about. Prophets, they don't think they're doing anything wrong, but they add to or take from without even realizing what they're doing, without not intending to do it, but they do it anyway. So it says, those that are righteous will learn righteousness, but the unrepentant sinners will not learn righteousness regardless of what it's done for them. And this is why they are to be barred from the congregation of the righteous. The righteous, however, even now feel the Yahshua's mighty hand, and painfully they declare, Isaiah 26:11. Yahweh, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Indeed, when Elohim's hand is lifted up to deliver his people, the wicked will not see it. But after the righteous are delivered, the wicked will clearly see and envy. But it shall be to their shame and too late to do them any good. Even now, while the latter rain is falling, the self-righteous who imagine that they have need of nothing are either running away from it or pulling their raincoats over their heads. For the seekers of righteousness, though, come out in the open. Thus they learn to say, Isaiah 26:12. Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. This can be said only by those who allow the Yahweh to perform his work in their hearts so that they may praise him. Isaiah 26:13-16. O Yahweh Elohim, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their members to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh. Thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. These verses declare that Israel of the promises, not the unbelieving Jew, have increased in number since having been removed from their land, since having been scattered to the ends of the earth. While this chastening, being driven away from their land, is still upon them, they pour out prayer and say, Isaiah 26:17-18, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Here is shown that the eyes of the penitent are to be opened. They are to see themselves as Elohim sees them and confess that they have hitherto failed in their efforts. That they have travailed, have been in pain, but have brought forth wind, only wind, as it were, while the impenitent think that they themselves are rich and increased with good, are doing a great deed, and are in need of nothing. Yes, the church may now boast of her achievements, or her so-called large membership, but not long hence will she, too, discover that she hath failed to finish her work, that the world is still destroying the earth, that her people are unsaved, and that rather than having brought forth salvation, she has brought forth nothing but wind. In the mighty sifting soon to take place, we shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. The signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Isaiah 26:19. Thy dead men shall live together with thy dead body, shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Not only the living, but the dead also shall be gathered into the strong city. We already hear the Yahshua pleading with us all sin. In Isaiah 26:20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Well, that indignation is fast approaching, folks. It says the peace shows that we are approaching the time of the trouble, that Yahweh is anxious to have us under cover. The wise will hear him and will accept the chambers, the protection he provides for them. Isaiah 26:21. For behold, the Yahshua cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. All these truths which Elohim is now bringing to our attention point to one thing, that the great and terrible day of Yahweh is at hand, that he is soon to manifest his power and shake the earth so that everything that cannot be shaken may stand. Are you not glad, brother, sister, that Yahweh has given you a first opportunity to get ready for the day of the Yahweh, to hold fast unto his ever-increasing truth? Okay, Time of Reading, Volume 2, Number 6. Let's continue on with Lewdness Flees Away at Children's Protest. Revival and Reformation Wins. It says, our subject is found in the first and second chapters of Hosea. We shall begin with Hosea 1:2. Beginning the word of the Yahweh by Hosea, and the Yahweh said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredom, and children of whoredom. For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Yahweh. We immediately see that this wife and these children symbolize Elohim's people departing from him, and that such a wicked act he calls whoredom. Hosea 1:3-4. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And Yahweh said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. Elohim's reason for thus naming Hosea, first visionary son, was to signify that in a little while he was to avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, who was then the king of Israel. Then declared to Yahweh, Hosea 1:5, and it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel and the valley of Jezreel. To break the bow would mean to break the nation's military strength. The history of this is recorded in 2 Kings 10:11. Hosea 1:6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and Elohim said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. This child's name was to denote the complete destruction of the house of Israel, the 10-tribe kingdom. This destruction, we know, was accomplished by the king of Assyria, who scattered the people throughout the cities of the Medes. Well, the history of this is found in 2 Kings 18:11. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah, and in Haber, by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. Hosea 1:7, But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Yahweh the Elohim, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. So the Yahweh promised to spare the house of Judah from the invasion of the king of Assyria. The history of this incident is recorded in 2 Kings 19:35. And it came to pass that night that the angel Yahweh went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Okay, all dead corpses. Hosea 1:8-9. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhama, she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahweh, call his name Lo Ammi. For ye are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. The name of the third child was to signify that though Israel and Judah were Elohim's chosen people, the day was fast approaching in which they would no longer be called his people. For the fulfillment of this phase of the prophecy brings us into the Christian era, Hosea 1:10. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered or measured, nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, here it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Elohim. In spite of the calamities that were to overtake the children of Israel, they were to become very numerous. And when they are thus greatly multiplied, they are again to be called the sons of Yahweh. And so here we see a prophecy of the rebellion of Elohim's people, and Elohim's rejection of them, as well as their repentance and acceptance by him. Let us here for a moment discuss the title Judah and Israel. When superficially read, these titles are, as a rule, misconstrued and made to mean the identified Jews. But we must not be superficial readers and thinkers. Let us be deep Bible students. Now everyone knows that the identified Jews of the day are but a handful. Certainly not as the sands of the sea. The innumerable children of Israel, therefore, cannot be the unbelieving Jews of today. Besides, the identified Jews of today are not the descendants of the 10-tribe kingdom, but of the 2-tribe kingdom. Who then is their multitude of? Who then is this multitude of the people referred to in the Hosea's prophecy? We must not overlook the fact that the gospel of the Yahshua divided the house of Judah into two sects, Jewish and apostolic. That the apostolic congregation for about 4 years after the resurrection of Yahshua consisted practically only of Jews. Plainly then, the original apostolics were all full-blooded Jews, that's your disciples. The apostolic congregation is only a branch of the Jewish congregation, but they and their descendants have, through the years, lost their racial identity. Then, too, the descendants of both Israel and Judah, who, through the years of the captivity, lost their identity, as did the Jews who embraced the apostolic creed. According to prophecy, must also have greatly multiplied. Mainly then, many who are taken as Gentiles unidentified descendants of the ancient Judah, Israel, and the Jewish apostolics. For the apostolic congregation itself is, as we have seen, a Jewish apostolic congregation. Because, see, I put apostolic in place of Christian. And the reason why I that is because when you read Christian, you think of Gentiles. You don't think of Jews. And that's another reason why the Catholic Church grabbed onto that Christian identity. They want to be classified with all the rest of these here Christian identity people. Adventists want to be identified as Christian, not Jewish. Okay. Or these descendants of Jacob, who were assimilated by the Gentile nations, therefore were to multiply as the sand of the sea. They are the ones who, after becoming apostolic, are again called the sons of the living Elohim. Of those who first embraced the apostolic faith, the Apostle Peter speaks thus, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of the Elohim, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, 1 Peter 2:10. And the apostolic John says, but as many as received him, unto them gave he power to become the sons of the Yahweh, even unto them that believe on his name, John 1:12. Now we see that the prophecy of Hosea 1 began at the house of Israel and Judah, and brings us down to the stream of time and to the antithetical apostolic era, for light on the church in the apostolic period returned to Hosea 1:11. See, Adventists, they want to be called Christian to lose their Jewish identity. Catholic Church want to be called Christian to lose their image of being who they were. So you see, this Christian is nothing but a generic term used for everybody that of the Protestant creed, and not of the Jewish creed. Of Hosea 1:11, then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall compass all the land. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. The word of Elohim therefore definitely declares that the subjects of the torn down kingdoms, Judah and Israel, as apostolics, along with the Gentiles that have joined them. Now here comes the Gentile. And so when Gentiles join, becoming an Israelite grafted in, they want to call him Gentile, and they want to call him Christian also. We'll gather together and appoint themselves a king. So let's read that again. For the word of Yahweh therefore definitely declares that the subjects of the torn down kingdoms, Judah and Israel, as antitypical apostolics, along with the Gentiles that have joined them, will gather together and appoint themselves a king. Oh, so it's going to be when Judah and Israel is joined together. But it says that his antitypical David is the one that Yahweh appoints to be king over the two houses, and that's antithetical David when it joins them together. So Vicky Hall is kind of getting ahead of himself here. But he says, in a similar symbolism, the prophet was told that after many days of obscurity of wonder, all the children of Israel return and seek the Yahweh the Elohim and David their king. Evidently, David is the one head whom they appoint, and shall fear the Yeshua and his goodness in the latter days. So, as I read earlier, it says, the word of Yahweh therefore definitely declares that the subjects of the torn down kingdom, Judah and Israel, as Christians, as antitypical apostolics, along with the Gentiles that have joined them, will gather together and appoint themselves a king. Well, you're going to have to resurrect the whole house of Israel, because they're going to be in on this appointing a king. So this is some deep prophecy here that we need to understand better. I'll continue with the same family illustration pointing to the apostolic era, the Yeshua command, Hosea 2:1. Say ye unto your brethren Ami and to your sisters Ruama. Here we see that the names of the two children of chapter 1 are again mentioned, but the first two letters of each name has been dropped. Lo Ruama has become Ruama, and Lo Ami has become Ami. Now the fact that these are the brother and sister of Jezreel bears out the truth that the one whom the Yeshua commands to speak unto them is Jezreel, the firstborn of the three. He is to deliver the message unto his brethren, Ami and Ruama. Now what is it all about? It is not too difficult to see. For the one to whom Elohim speaks, Jezreel, represents the prophet. His brother and sister Ami and Ruama can only represent the church membership, both male and female. In actuality, Jezreel must deliver Elohim's message unto them, and here is the message. And this Jezreel, then, is antitypical David. Actually, we need to say antitypical Elijah has come, and this is the one that delivers this message unto their brother and sister in the Adventist church, which is, he calls it male and female. That's where B.T. Hallis gets this here, 144,000 being male and female. And I guess he had a point there. But let's go ahead. Hosea 2:2. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Okay, this brings in for us that this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. A wonder of wonder by Elijah David. I declare you the story of a long time ago. You taught us a day for the future to unfold.
Prayer to glory.